Well, authorities have imposed a curfew in Indian occupied Kashmir a day ahead of the first anniversary or milestone of India's controversial decision to revoke the disputed region's semi-autonomy. You would recall that 370 repulsion this was about a year ago. Officials announced a two-day full curfew on Monday, citing intelligence reports of looming protests in the Muslim majority region of over 7 million people, where locals have called for the anniversary to be marked as a black or a day of mourning. Joining us this evening is Ghulam Jilani, journalist at Mail Today and at India Today, joining us live from New Delhi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brother Ghulam.
Waalaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Ghulam, before we discuss and talk of the issue in Kashmir, a Ram Mandir ceremony to commence the building of the temple, which is on the ruins of the Babri Masjid, starting tomorrow. What is planned and how is the media covering this?
Yeah, so basically it's not just, you know, it has become a national festival-like thing, what we have been observing since morning. So basically, just to give a background, this there was a Supreme Court judgment which allowed people to construct a temple, a Ram temple in Ayodhya, which is a town in Uttar Pradesh, where there was a mosque built by Mughal Emperor Babur, which was demolished by BJP and right-wing activists in 1992. So like few months ago, I think in October or November, there was a judgment by Supreme Court of India which allowed the construction of the mosque. So tomorrow, which is August 5th, around 12 noon, there will be a function which marks the, you know, inauguration of building this mandir or temple. And Prime Minister Modi will be there. So for last 2 days, in run-up to this event, that is tomorrow, there has been a huge, you know, every TV channel you watch right now is telecasting live visuals from Ayodhya, from the site where Mr. Modi will inaugurate the function. And you know, it looks weird for me that they have selected, because the significance of the timing around 12 is being, you know, attributed to some religious, you know, it is a pious timing, some religious significance. But it also happens to be the same day, which is August 5th, on which a year ago, Indian government abrogated Article 370 in Kashmir. So the irony of it is, while the rest of the country, while the rest of India is celebrating the construction of the beginning of the construction of Ram Mandir tomorrow, in Kashmir there is a complete lockdown, which was announced yesterday. Though a few minutes ago the authorities have announced there will not be curfew tomorrow. They have cut short it, the 2 day curfew, to 1 day only. But still there is huge deployment and total lockdown in Kashmir. In fact, there are two lockdowns. One is because of coronavirus and another is because of this August 5 anniversary. And one more thing that I should mention here, that nobody is talking about, you know, social distancing, masks and other precautionary measures that one needs to follow during this time in India and the rest of the world. While, you know, well, there are many hundreds of people gathering in Ayodhya tomorrow. In fact, hundreds of them have already started gathering there. So that is the irony of it. So there are three things. One is it marks the beginning of the construction of the temple, which had a history of demolition of a mosque. Two is that it is happening on a day when Kashmir's, you know, right of its own, you know, constitution was abrogated a year ago. See, it is the time when everybody should remain home and people should, you know, practice social distancing. But this is happening in India.
You know, Ghulam, on that same point, I mean, have all legal opportunities or all legal avenues been exhausted regarding the Babri Masjid issue? I mean, is there anything left? Will have people sort of given up on the idea that Babri Masjid is no longer in existence and you are now going to have, at least from a legal perspective, and you're now going to have a mandir there? Or are there still some sort of legal channels and some sort of governmental channels that the people are pursuing?
See, there was this committee. It was called Babri Masjid Action Committee that was fighting the legal battle for 2-3 decades now. But when this verdict was given by Supreme Court in November 2019, So there was a huge, you know, debate whether the committee should challenge this verdict or not. But at the same time, there was another, you know, many Muslim organizations had kind of, you know, resigned to their fate and said, let's, you know, stop this fight now, because they were also given some portion of the land for the construction of a mosque next to the mandir. But yes, there are people like Babri Masjid Action Committee, like some sections in the legal fraternity who want this fight to go on. But as a matter of fact, as I should tell you, that most of the people have resigned to the faith and they have accepted the fact that Babri Masjid will no more be there, and more importantly, there will be a temple coming up whose construction, like the construction of this temple, starts tomorrow. And it also marks the beginning of this, you know, prayer and other religious thing that these people are going to do there. But at the same time, you should look at today, like even the staunchest opposition party of the country, Congress Party, is General Secretary Priyanka Gandhi said today, okay, this event, this, you know, construction, inauguration of the construction of the temple should, you know, ensure unity across India. And I, you know, this is very bad. I feel very bad looking at the TV channels and reading the reports. It's unfortunate for India as a democracy, and more so for the Muslims of India, that a person like Vinay Kattiyar, who was one of the front runners of this Babri Masjid Demolition Act, he is openly saying today on live television that he had destroyed 3 tombs of the mosque. So it has, unfortunately, again I say, it has become a norm for people in India, for Muslims in particular, but, and also for the secular voices that India has, that, you know, nobody is talking about the demolition as it should be talked about. People are more talking about the construction of the temple that begins tomorrow. Nobody is even, there are cases, you know, there are two aspects. One is the temple is being constructed now. But there were criminal cases. What happened in 1992 was a criminal act in which very senior politicians of the ruling party were involved. There are those cases, trials of these cases are running in different courts of the country. But nobody has given even a 1 minute of space for the fact that people like Uma Bharti, who is being, you know, who was a minister in Modi government, people like L.K. Advani, people like Kalyan Singh, where all of them were, you know, they were accused of demolition. They had a very significant and very visible role in demolition of Babri Masjid in 1992. Nobody is talking about that, as if the Masjid, the memories are being, you know, they are being erased from the memories of the people. And now we have this temple coming up, and there's a huge pomp and show going on in Ayodhya 2 days ahead of this function tomorrow.
Moving on to Kashmir, Brother Ghulam, I mean, someone of Kashmiri background like yourself, I mean, how do you feel watching what's going on there, as well as the restrictions that are continue to be placed from that 1 year, and even before that 1 year for that matter, and where is this year going to end?
I mean, see, a year ago, exactly on this day, I was, you know, it was around this time, it was around 12, it is 11 midnight. 11 p.m. in India, in Delhi. So restrictions had started, you know, being imposed right now, like from 12, after 12 midnight, phones stopped working, internet stopped working. Like, you know, there was total blackout, and I couldn't call my family back home. I couldn't call my ailing parents, my aged parents, my ailing grandmother. I couldn't call my, you know, fiance. We were getting married 2 months. So I was one of the victims of whatever happened on August 4th. And unfortunately, we were told at that time that it was projected as if this is going to, you know, resolve all the issues that Kashmir has been grappling with for the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 decades. And we were told that things will become normal soon. But 1 year on, one thing still remains same, you know, as things don't change as much as you want them to be. And things have remained almost as same. So today, as you rightly said in the beginning of the show, they have yesterday there was an announcement of a curfew for 2 days because of, you know, they had some inputs about some violence happening. Today, the government is saying, so the inputs, we have received more inputs, so the violence is not happening, so we are lifting the curfew. So curfew was there a year ago, curfew is there today. Internet was not working that day, internet stopped working that day, and today, 1 year on, even once they have not restored complete internet connectivity. It's been a year, 365 days, when people of Kashmir have been, you know, debarred and access to the internet. We still work, people in Kashmir still work on 2G network. And there are other issues also, like mainstream political leaders are still, so many political leaders are still, you know, in jail or in house arrest. Only few of them have been released. And there are, you know, we were told that militancy and other violence will end. That has not happened either. I don't think anything has changed in Kashmir except for the fact that people of Kashmir continue to suffer still. And people of Kashmir, I mean, they were traumatized. They were oppressed. They were in 7 lakhs. You know, yesterday I was watching a video which said there is one security force for as many as 11 people in Kashmir. And, you know, as my friends in Kashmir with whom I'm in touch with, they would say we are living in a lockdown within a lockdown. You know, the coronavirus is also affecting people in Kashmir. Every day there are 600-700 cases. 10 people have died today. And people are still to, you know, while people were trying to, you know, resume their normal lives after 6-7 months of lockdown after Article 370 was removed. So there was this lockdown, which is another aspect of the society. But yes. So people of Kashmir, you know, I will give you an example. I have a relative who has not opened his shop for last 1 year. Imagine what his business would be doing. Imagine his survival, you know, troubles that he has been facing. Imagine how he has been feeding his family. So that is a story for every Kashmiri. And they, you know, this 1 year has been totally traumatic. It's been full of, you know, full of troubles. It's been, you know, there have been excesses in terms of security deployment, in terms of, you know, restrictions, in terms of freedom on people of Kashmir.
Brother Ghulam Jilani, Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us and keeping us updated on events coming out of India, especially with regards to the new construction on top of the ruins of the Babri Masjid, as well as events in Kashmir. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Exactly
1 year since the lockdown on Kashmir, and that will be on tomorrow, that is on the 5th of August, that 1 year since the repelling of Article 370 that tore away semi-autonomy from the area of Kashmir, making it part of what they call the integral part of India, resulting in thousands of individuals protesting, security forces, of course, continuing as before last year, ensuring that heavy-handedness and tactics remain upon the Kashmiri population of over 7 million people. Well, that indeed is a major, major source of concern and an indictment on the entire Ummah. And what is a further concern is that the building of the Ram Mandir taking place, or the initial construction and the initial, you could call, soil turning, taking place tomorrow as well on that Wednesday, attended by high-level government officials, including Prime Minister Modi. And many of those officials, mind you, as Ghulam Jilani had mentioned, participated in the destruction of the Babri Masjid in 1992. Nobody's talking, as he mentioned, about the criminal case. And you can't just go and destroy anything under the pretext or under the occasion that, you know what, this place here belongs to us and with no court ruling. But nobody talks of that. And the result is that the Muslims of India, a massive, massive minority indeed, but nonetheless a large number, remained repressed under the most difficult of conditions that have been experienced in a long, long time. Wallahu al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of helpers. Is it a lesson for us that how much do you deal into the realm of secularism? How much do you depend upon it? Maybe the idea is never that maybe it may be used as a ruse for a while, but the reality is that there is nothing but an interpersonal and a Muslim assertion that works in the long run. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Time for me to conclude our discussion for today, for this evening. Till we meet again, inshallah, tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.